Bung Bung!
Welcome to the potties brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee, the most hoppinest coffee you can get. This is the hippinest, the hoppinest, the bippity boppinest modern dark roast available on the market. If you want to do your fancy Instagram, you know, put a little egg in your coffee cup and melt it with your coffee getting poured over the top of the egg, now is the perfect time. Go to bungbungcoffee.com. And enter promo code POTTY, that's P-O-D-D-Y, P-O-D-D-Y for 15% off all orders. And this Easter, you could be sipping on that Bung Bung coffee and, you know, adding a bit of chocolate to your life at the same time. And that's, you know, what else could you hope for? What else could you hope for? It's going to give you, it's going to give you a little spring in your step. It's going to make you hop your way, you know, around, you know, around the house following your kid as they you know, collect eggs that were left by a, you know, by a mammal. So I don't know why, I don't know how that works, but bungbungcoffee.com for your Bung Bung coffee, your delicious modern dark roast. bungbungcoffee.com, enter promo code POTTY, P-O-D-D-Y for 15% off all orders. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party, best show on the internet, ask anybody. You know it's easy money, sit back, relax, get your headphones everybody. Welcome to the party, blackout in the booth, every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby, tell a friend to tell a friend, this is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcast and the Magnum PI of podcast and the Captain, the Easter Bunny of the podcast game. Yes, yes, we're here today. It's Easter. You know, we're eating chocolate. We're sipping on Bung Bung coffee. We're doing what it is. We're doing it all on this religious holiday.
Sorry, man. Sorry, I can't take you seriously enough.
What do I? What's
I'm
wrong?
Like, I'm like imagining you with a lisp with everything you say just because of those teeth.
Am I lisping?
I don't know, but it sounds like you are, but you're not.
It sounds like I am because I look like I am.
Yeah.
Do you remember dating a girl named Bleep This?
Yeah.
I think I told you this story, but me and my friend George, who you know, George the fisherman. I won't say his last name. We went to primary school with Bernadette and we used to sing a song to the tune of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer called Me the Bucktooth Beaver. That's your fault. You reminded me of that when you said that I look like, like a boy that speaks with a lisp.
Shit. Hey, go on, man. How's your week?
I'm afraid of you. You're a bunny with a blood-stained mouth.
Yeah, I didn't take a proper look at it before I put it on, but yeah, I can't see shit, to be honest.
It's nuts. Is it hot in there?
Yeah.
Because I've got this little thing over my nose and it is hot in here. I got headphones on. I got the buck teeth.
Yeah, this shit's like a little face sauna.
Shit, you sweating?
Getting there.
Dude, what's your biggest fear?
Biggest fear? Probably either like falling to my death or getting eaten alive. It's a toss up between those two.
Shit. But death, it's like death focused, your fears.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. How about yours?
Well, now it's getting eaten by an Easter bunny. I feel like I'm looking death in the eyes right now. This looks like a low-budget horror film that I'm looking at right now. Do this? Yeah, that's... Do it to the camera? Yeah, that's... Fucked, bro. That, you know, that's a good mask for, you know, the price. You know, I'm starting to get a little collection of props here. that Kenny's going to, when he gets older and not like, because that would scare the shit out of
you. You can't walk in there wearing this.
Right? When he's older, he's going to be able to do dress ups for sure. We got a wig over there, blonde wig. We got two bunny outfits and that's it.
He's ready. He's set for his whole childhood.
Yeah, there'll be more. There'll be more. I've got a few other props I want to get. I want to get a yarmulke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. L'chaim.
Yeah, you don't see too many of these over here. Took me a second to recall what that actually was.
Yeah, it's a headpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to get one of those. At this stage, that's really my next piece that I'm focused on is a yarmulke. Yeah.
And you're planning on rocking that in public? Or just
dress ups. Yeah. We don't, you know, defoul people's religions out in the streets, bro. That's crazy.
Just dress ups.
Yeah. Just in private.
Private dress ups.
We just get foul on religions in private, bro, around this house. We got more sense than that. Not trying to get in public altercations. Man, I got in a public altercation this week.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
My dogs were barking. We were inside. We've got a kid to look after, you know. We still look after the dogs. But they were out there barking. And I went to the front door and it was locked. So I had to unlock it. I'm fumbling around a bit. They're barking like crazy. So I'm trying to get out there to get them to shut up. I get to the door. I'm fumbling with the keys. I'm like, oi, shut up. And this guy yells back. He's like, oi. I'm like, oh, here we go, cunt. And I open the door. I was like, oh, sorry, man. Like, they're so stupid. He's like, you better stop your dogs. And I was like, yeah, I mean, they're annoying, but it's all right, bro. And he's like, your dog jumped over the fence. I was like, jumped over the fence? He's like, yeah. I was like, and jumped back in?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. I was like, sorry, she didn't jump over the fence. Like, she's jumping up on the fence. I was like, jumping up on the fence or jumping over the fence? Right? So I'm being a bit annoying.
Yeah.
But so is he because he's saying the wrong shit.
Sounds warranted. Dude's just making shit up.
So he's like, you better stop your dog from jumping over the fence. I was like, well, she didn't jump over the fence. All right? So let's all relax. And he goes, next time I come past here, your dog better not be jumping over the fence or it's going to be a problem. I was like, what are you saying to me right now? He's like, if your dog jumps over the fence and bites me, it's not going to end well. And I said, did she bite you? And he said, no. And I said, well, what are we talking about? He's like, if she jumps up and bites me, it's not going to end well. And I said, all right, I'm going to ask you one more time to tell me what you're saying. Because if you're threatening me or my dog, it is going to be a problem. And we can settle it right now. And he's like, I said what I said. I'm like, and what is that? What did you say? Say it again. And he's like, I said what I said, bro. I think that was pretty much it.
This dude's just getting real mad over hypotheticals.
Yeah, and he's like probably 50. He's probably like a 50-year-old Maori guy, like, yeah, okay. Or Māori. You're supposed to say Māori. And now this is the problem. Is one, he was pretty staunch. And, maybe he could have fucked me up. Who knows? I don't think he has probably the same level of psychopath in him that I do. But he was, you know, he had Hollywood muscles. He had the buys, the tries, the delts. He had it happening. He had dreadlocks and shaved sides. So just the top, you know, top dreads. But, you know, I was going towards him for the action and he was walking away from me. So that's how I know that I've got a bit more maniac in me than this motherfucker. But here's the thing. He's got way more brothers and cousins than me.
So many more.
Yeah. And he knows where I live. Yeah. And I don't know where he lives. So that's GG. That's the one I got in a fight over. So I was like, I was ready. And I came back inside. And I was a bit worked up because I was like, what if he comes back and like poisons our dogs or whatever? And I was like all in the moment. And because I was walking to him, I was thinking like, oh, we're going to get in a fight. Rach was in like, you know, the front room with the big windows.
Yeah.
She was in there watching this whole thing. And she was just like, he's never coming back here again. From what I saw, like there is no way he's coming back here again. So that made me feel good, but thinking of getting a gun, man.
Yeah. When did this all go down?
Sunday, because it was right before I went to go get coffee with friend of the show, Chet.
Yeah, okay.
And I was telling him, I got there, I was like, I don't even need a coffee, man. I'm jacked right now. Then I told him that whole story, and then I ordered a coffee.
I'm tired? F*** that. Perk up and level up with Bung Bung Coffee's delicious modern dark roast. Your favorite brewer's favorite brew. BungBungCoffee.com.
Yeah, but man, like we've got, you know, we've got a security system, but it, I mean, we're home like 98% of the time, but I've also got my own security system. It's called, it's Eastern. It's a baseball bat. I keep it right next to my bed just in case someone wants to try and come in at nighttime. Cause you hear stories, man. I think it's the boldest shit you can do is break into a house while people are home.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this dude's coming back. From the sound of it, like, it sounds like he's scared of the fucking dogs to begin with.
Yeah, pussy, bro. Yeah. He had a dog. He had a dog too, smaller than our girls, but like, honestly, probably tougher. It looked like a little staffy.
Yeah, okay.
But, oh man, I was just so mad. Like, that's not how, like, it's annoying as fuck. Having the dogs bark at you and shit. It's so fucking annoying. I get it. And I hate that they do it. But that's not how you fucking approach me.
No.
You just say like, oh God, they're a bit aggressive. And I'll say, no, they're not aggressive. They're just saying hello. And literally, if you stop to pat them once when you're walking by and they're being like that, if you stop walking, they will stop barking and they'll sit up on the fence and sniff and wag their tails and you'll pat them and then they'll never bark at you again.
That's it.
And we've got plenty of people in the neighborhood that don't get barked at because they've patted the dogs.
Well, like, if you've got an issue, just cross the fucking road, walk on the
side. Yeah, don't walk by here. And he's like, yeah, next time I walk by. I'm like, don't. Well, why would you walk back? You trying to get triggered?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, thinking about getting a gun, bro. I don't know if the baseball bat's going to be enough, but the problem is if, like I said before, I've got that maniac in me. If I've got a gun, someone's not going to have the option to walk back past my house.
Yeah, it's too dangerous, bro, to keep that baseball bat.
Yeah, just keep the bat. I'll just fucking make his face mincemeat next time I see that cunt.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So that's like kind of what started my week off was that. That's the energy I went into this week with.
Dude, I'm fucking, it's like a sauna in here. I'm out.
Take it off, bro.
Yeah.
Oof. When I went to buy these today, speaking of like wanting to shoot somebody, the lady that I asked for help, because I couldn't find any bunny stuff in this store. I'm like, do you have any like Easter like bunny masks? I want like full face masks. And she goes, fucking hell, how tall are you?
were you at like Cunno's or Cheapest Chips or something?
No, like a costume shop.
Yeah.
That, okay. I don't want to name. I don't want them getting any more bread. I don't want all them right. getting free advertising. But I was at this costume joint and that's how she hits me. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to answer that. So I just said like, oh yeah, I'm just looking for like some like bunny or like rabbit mask, like full head mask. I wanted them to be like the silicone joints that you pull over.
Yes.
I wanted them to be like that.
Someone actually brought one of those into work the other day.
Oh, no shit.
She was running like an Easter fair for a kid's school or something. So I had this costume and it was just random as I walked past her desk and there's this giant fucking bunny head.
Yeah, that's what I was. Creepy. That's what I was kind of wanting. And yeah, so I ask again, and she's like, "Shit, jeez, you're so fucking tall. Like, what are you, like 8 foot?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm 8 foot. Where are the bunny heads?" And then, like, she kind of got the point for a second. She grabbed me that scary thing, and she's like, "Oh, we got these things." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll get that little, you know, the little mouthpiece too, and the bunny ears." And then we went to go put them through, and she's like, "Fuck, how big are your feet?"
Fucking the triple up. That's crazy.
And I was like, size 50. Putting a fucking transaction through, cunt. Fuck. Hated her. I hated her guts, man. So much.
Yeah.
You're
going to be getting this shit for the rest of your life, bro.
I know, but I shouldn't have to say, like, you should, if I straight up ignore you and ask for, like, bunny masks, you got to be like, okay, he doesn't want to fucking do this. You go again, and then I couldn't tell when I said I was 8 foot. She goes, "Oh, fuck, that's tall." I couldn't tell who was being sarcastic anymore, if it was me or if it was her. I couldn't tell if I was talking to a straight up bleep this retard, or if she just flipped the sarcasm onto me at that point.
Doesn't sound like it based on your impersonation of her.
And that's what she sounded like. And that's why I think I was still being sarcastic and she was a bleep this retard. fucking absurd, bro.
Because this has been like a recurring thing for you for a long time now.
Yeah, 32 years.
Does it tend to be people that are older than you, or is it just like all sorts of demographics that are hitting you with this bullshit?
All sorts. Yeah. People that are my age or younger, especially tall people, will come up and do like a back-to-back to me.
Oh, those cunts. Yeah.
Some people come
not
stand.
Not that I get it, but I've seen that happen to you before.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, he would be hating this.
Some people will come and get a photo with me without asking. And that's not even fame, bro. That's just tall cunt problems. I'm trying to be famous, you know?
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, sometimes I'll be walking around the street and I'll hear a bung bung. I've heard the Welcome to the Potty podcast coming from a different car before. It's fantastic.
Like, how's that?
But then when you come up and you just get photo because I'm tall.
Yeah.
This is why when I go to the gun store to get my gun, I'll be honest with them and they'll be like, "Are you going to use this to kill somebody?" I'll be like, "Yeah, probably today." The next person that calls me tall, it might be you. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just kind of thinking like maybe you've only got a few years left. Maybe it's a dying breed sort of thing, but it's just all ages.
No, all ages coming at you. All ages. You can be 90, you can be 19.
Fuck.
And people, when I complain, not people, like Rach and my mum, they say, "Oh, that's just people just trying to start conversation." I'm like, "Dude, I'll just tell me," say, "Be like, oh, fuck, it's hot today." You know, he's like, "Hey, what's your name?" Imagine that.
Yeah.
"Fucking hell, you're a tall cunt. How tall are you? Fucking 8 foot?" Jesus Christ. Kill yourself.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude, so that happened today. But speaking of fans, I got the carpet cleaned last week. We had a dog incident. Dog did a big fat shit in the house because Rach fed him. Rach made spinach pie. We didn't finish it and she gave it to the dogs, not thinking there's fucking onion in this.
Oh, is that a trigger?
Bad for dogs.
Yeah, right.
Dogs aren't supposed to have onion, chocolate.
You knew about chocolate, but onion. Didn't know about that.
Okay. Yeah, onion, any stone fruits.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, Rach fed the leftovers and I was up and down all night. It was like Kenny was a baby again, except like I was up and down all night because she's good. She knocks at the door to let you know, like, "I've got to go outside." Then she goes outside, you fall back asleep for 2.5 seconds. You get a knock to let her back in. Doing this all night. And then one at like probably 4 in the morning, she knocks and I was like, "Get in bed." And then I just hear. And I panicked and I went in there and there was shit sprayed everywhere.
Dude.
And I was just like, man. So we had to get the carpet cleaned and we did that. got it sorted, and the guy that comes in to clean the carpets, bro, big fan.
Like, fan of the show?
No.
Just, what, fan of how tall you were? Or?
Fan of the Townsville Crocs, bro.
What?
Yeah, he's like, oh, man, I've seen you on TV, bro. He's, like, Lebanese or, like, pretty woggy. I'm not going to do the accent. But he was fucking into me, bro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't had that, like, I don't think I've ever had any, like, NBL love before. So that was wild. And then he saw this room and was like, what is this locker? What is this, like a radio show?
So he's from New Zealand.
No, I don't know. What is this, like a radio show? How do you do it? I don't know how to do it.
Fuck knows, man. I can't do shit.
And I was just like, oh, it's a podcast. He's like, what's that? Like, he didn't know what a podcast was.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, he's fucking like, this is the Ferrari of carpet cleaning. I'm telling you, this is like, what you got last time is like a Saab. This is like a Ferrari carpet cleaning. It's what I've got is called, and he's like telling me like the model of car. I was like, I don't know, bro.
How old is this guy? Like roughly around your age?
Maybe.
I'm just trying to like picture the demographic, like fucking Townsville Croc, diehard carpet cleaner.
Bleep this.
Super wog.
Bleep this. Remember,
yeah.
Picture him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But he's Egyptian.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Oh, I will.
Yeah. When I used to get my hair cut by, bleep this, retards. he used to go to that same barber.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I never ran into him there.
No? Do you still get your hair cut there?
When I get my hair cut, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't go to the shit cunt.
Sometimes you just get the shit.
Shit. That is such a roll of the dice,
just
bro.
Just the hand you get dealt sometimes.
Holy shit.
I've had a pretty good run, though. I've only had him like one time in the past six or so visits.
I can't get my hair cut by those motherfuckers anymore. Well, it's not those motherfuckers. It's one motherfucker, but I was always getting him. And I just remember my heart the last
dude,
time he
cut
me.
I reckon he listens to this fucking podcast.
Bung, bung.
He's just been cutting me up so shit every time I get him, ever since you've been talking about him on here.
I haven't talked about him in ages, man.
He just goes out of his way to fuck my lineup.
I haven't seen him since that last cut I got from him. I haven't gone into the building. And then the bitch down the street from him fucked my braids up.
Yeah, you'd be pretty triggered by Henley Beach Road.
Oh, the reason that I was so ready to pop off on this dude about the dogs. We had just got home from the farmer's market that day.
Yeah.
Bro, we went there probably 30 minutes after it opened. Like, because you don't want to miss out on all the good produce.
Where's this at? Is this like Showgrounds or something?
Yeah.
I've never been. Not my scene.
Not my scene, bro. Every time I go there, I leave all worked up, stressed out. It's too busy. People are bumping into me, you know. And this time was the worst. We got there. We lined up for a coffee because I was like, oh, why should we get a coffee like on the way from our boy Roy? Shout out. And Ray's like, no, we'll get one there. They've got good coffees there. We line up for 30 minutes for a coffee. 30 minutes. This is before we even enter the actual thing. We go in trying to get berries. Rach left me in the coffee line. She was like, this is crazy. I'm just going to go get some stuff. She goes, she comes back because Kenny's crying. She wants to get him something to eat. She goes, she comes back. She's like, it's like the same wait for all the stalls. So why wouldn't we just go to fucking Woolworths at this point?
Yeah.
Thank you for shopping with the Fresh Food people.
So we bought like some pears and then left because I was just like, we got to get something. We came here.
Yeah.
But we're not fucking staying and I'm not going back. Markets are trash. So I was all worked up. You know, we had to go from the markets to Woolworths to go shopping.
It's a supermarket for a fucking reason. I had this conversation with Hannah the other day.
Yeah.
I hate the markets like just as much as it sounds like you do. Yeah. Like central markets can't handle it. Too many people.
So many people. And now it's not like central markets used to be this thing where you'd go and it'd be like, oh, look at all this stuff I got for $12. And now it's like you can't leave the place without spending $150. Like, what's the fucking point of it?
Yeah. It's like I get like supporting like local farmers and shit like that, but it's not the place you want to be if you're in a rush.
No. And you got to pay for parking. Oh, you don't. You get an hour of parking for free. But like, it's just, it's so, the markets, the reason for the markets was like the cost saving. Mm. Well, that's what I thought back in the day when I was growing up. And now it's like this artisan market thing. You've got 50 stalls that all sell the same thing. You'd think that they're trying to like undercut each other and like, but no, they're all charging like,
all try and charge more than each other.
Yeah, $12 for a fucking bunch of four asparagi.
Whoa. Fuck. Okay, Jimmy Neutron. Fuck.
Duncan Robinson.
Shit. Oh, shit. I've never heard that word, but I liked it.
I made it up just then.
Oh, let's roll with it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, the markets are trash, dude. I can't think of a reason you'd go to a market.
Nah, I got nothing.
Strawberry season, because strawberries in the store are trash, always. So you can go and get some good strawberries during the summer, but we're out of strawberry season now anyway.
Speaking of strawberries, do you remember when that sicko or those sickos were putting needles in that shit?
Yeah.
How long ago was that? That was pre-COVID, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, this was years ago.
Time's gone quick.
I don't even reckon I was living in Adelaide when that was happening.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Maybe I was. I reckon it was before I met Rachel. Needles in. No.
Berries.
No, I was living with Rachel at Glenelg. I remember going to Glenelg Woolworths and being like hell scared to buy strawberries.
Yeah, I was so like tentative to eat that shit for a while after all that was in the news.
Hell fucked up the strawberry industry. And now since then, strawberries haven't been the same because they're pumping them up with all GMOs, and there's no sweetness to them. They're bright red and they taste like shit. Poo out of a rabbit's bum.
Yeah, right. Nice. Nice reference. I like it. Yeah, shit, I'll take more note next time I eat a strawberry.
I hate a strawberry now. I hate a strawberry. I need a fresh strawberry off a bush.
Never tried that.
Do you remember like, I don't even know if we lived through it. Maybe in the 90s, but we were too young to, you know, be doing sex. But remember Bush? Not really. Bush. Yeah. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's how.
Dude, I thought you were talking about like the president.
Nah, dude. Chicks used to have Bush, grow Bush.
That's really been a thing in my life.
The first, believe this, pussy I ever ate was Bush.
Throwback. Older woman or what?
Nope. She was exactly my age. I think she was born in May as well. But I remember because I was speaking to my friend. His name's George too, different George. And he got a blowjob the week before and he told me it was the best. I was like, fuck, I got to get me one. And then I went down on this girl thinking I was going to get a blowjob and I got nothing back in return. So
win some, you lose some.
Yeah, that is, you know, unfair trade. Especially when it's all bush down there too. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Haven't experienced it since, I don't think.
Nah, it's not common.
I bet it's got to be coming back.
Oh, it all does. It's all cyclical.
Yeah.
Matter of time.
I'm trying to think of like when a good time. Is Easter? I mean, not Easter. Yeah, well, it is Easter, but winter's coming. Winter is coming. And if you want to stay warm, maybe bush up. Could be a thing. Or wear, you know, or wear pants.
Yeah, that's been doing the trick for me for a while.
Yeah. Oh, man, what else happened? Oh, speaking of ex-lovers. Been doing swimming lessons with my son. And we rock up last Friday morning. And we walk in there and I see somebody with a child about the same age as my kid. And she looks up and we lock eyes and I'm like, holy shit, the one that got away.
Who was it?
Bleep this.
I had a feeling when you text me about this segment earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a feeling that was the case.
Yeah, dude. She was in, and we're in the pool together doing like co-parenting.
Oh, fuck.
We're in the pool together doing swimming lessons with our kids from separate people.
Fuck, that's like a full circle moment.
Hey? It was nuts, dude. And Rach is just like outside the pool watching us just like.
It sounds crazy. It sounds like a scene from a movie or something.
Crazy, crazy. And I did move, like, our kids, like, had a little crush on each other. They're both boys. No home
was. Was the kid's dad there?
No.
Okay.
No, not everybody is as good a dad as I am. Yeah, but our kids were just like, they were getting distracted by each other. And I was in the shallow end of the pool, so I was like, I was really straining, like hurting my legs, bending, like staying. So I went to the deeper end and we separated ourselves and I took a deep breath. But yeah, man, it was
hectic.
It was a blast from the past. As soon as I got out of the pool, I the first person I texted was my mum. I was like, holy shit, you would not guess what just fucking happened to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Huge blast from the past.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy, crazy.
So, like, are both your kids enrolled there? So it's going to be an ongoing thing
that
you just need to deal with?
Yeah. But me and Rach have agreed to, she goes in twice, I go in once. Because it does, it's quite shallow, this pool, and you've got to, like, bend down so my knees get all fucked up, like they hurt afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, I just don't want to do that every week. So I'll do one, you do two, then I'll do one. So by the time we're done, I don't know, maybe we'll be able to introduce an extra to the relationship.
Easy money.
Oh shit.
Hit the sports segment. So basically the battle for divorced dads is over and I win. I basically had to get 0 this week and Lavelle had to get 4 and I got 4 and Boyman got 2. So sorry to hear that.
Yeah, congrats. Well played.
2 years in a row.
2 years running.
I'm the champion of the divorced dads. So we'll be going on a golf day for that. Yeah, so I'm the king of the divorced dads, so I don't think we've got a clapping sound effect there, but give me something that, like, sort of gives me some juice.
Something.
Sensational. That'll do. Give me another sensational.
Sensational.
Nice. There was a meeting between the NBA PA.
Yeah, Players Association and the owners.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a new CBA was sort of agreed upon.
Yeah,
that's the nature of a CBA. It's an agreement.
Yeah, it's always good when that's all sorted before there's a lockout or something like that. So
yeah,
keep things moving.
Can you tell us what came of that?
Just having a quick look now. There's heaps of shit that came out, but one of the more interesting ones, in my opinion anyway, is the I'll just read the quote. In an attempt to curb load management in star players, the NBA is tying eligibility for postseason awards like MVP to a mandatory 65 games played.
Yeah, see, that's annoying because the MVP is generally only up for grabs for 5 players. So, like, Kawhi's not going to get it again.
Yeah, but it's not just MVP. It's like all defensive teams, defensive player of the year.
Yeah. What about all defensive teams and stuff too?
All NBA. So
right. And if you want that, if you get that on your resume, you get pay rises and stuff in your next contract. So all your superstars kind of want that. So there is 65, 20 games. Yeah. Right. So I kind of do like that because you can't load manage just in case you actually do get a real injury.
Exactly. I had a quick look the other day because I was just curious, like, what the games played disparity is between the top 3 guys at the moment. So Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic. And like 2 or 3 days ago, that all played around like between 60 and 63 games. So right. By the end of the season, they'll get to the 65.
Yeah.
But it's close. Like, if they'd taken a few more games off with load management, next year none of them would be eligible to win MVP.
Yeah.
And they've all been taking some games off here and there for load management. Hasn't been legit injuries all season.
Yeah, and they're not known for that shit either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was pretty surprised when I saw Jokic had only played, like, a couple more games than 60.
So how many games has, like, a Kawhi played?
Oh, I couldn't even pluck a number, but I'd probably say in the 40s.
40, yeah. Gross. Yeah. Who else is, like, really known for load management?
Oh, but, like, teams like the Thunder, I guess. Like, historically, well, the past, like, few seasons, they've been shutting down the good players. So someone like Shea.
Yeah.
That would ruin his chances of making, like, an All-NBA team, maybe.
Yeah. But, okay, so did you see the move that they did with Jrue Holiday where he came in, he started the game, fouled somebody, whistle blew, he didn't play for the rest of the game?
Yeah.
Is that just a loophole? Can players start doing that to load manage?
That's a good question. I haven't really looked at the nitty-gritty of it, but at the end of that quote, in brackets, it says, with some conditions applied. So I've got a feeling that they have to have some sort of mechanism in there to stop bullshit games played like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you suit up for a game like that, that will affect your season averages.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you're trying to get these awards, that's not in your best interest to do that.
Yeah, true. That's pretty significant as well. Like, all zeros on a stat line is, like, pretty hectic. Yeah, wow. I do like that to come from it. 65 games, okay.
Players will get the opportunity to invest in the teams.
Their own teams or any teams?
I assume it's their own teams, but like you could get traded mid-season.
Yeah, so.
I'm keen to hear more about that. I just thought that was a pretty interesting takeaway from the agreement.
Yeah. That seems like insider trading, right? No, because you're not. Because you can get stock options if you work for Tesla.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same. Yeah, right. Okay. Yep, fair enough. Cool.
Next one, players will be able to promote or invest in betting and cannabis companies and be allowed to sign non-gambling endorsement deals with sports betting companies.
Non-gambling endorsement deals. Was I just advertise it like you just... What does that mean?
I don't know. Promote or invest in betting and be allowed to sign non-gambling endorsement deals.
I don't know what that means. What a non-gambling endorsement deal is for a betting company.
Don't know.
The endorsement is for gambling, correct? Yeah, that's thrown me. Hey, I'm just a bleep this retard.
The NBA and the NBPA have agreed to cut out restrictions that only allowed a team to sign 2 Supermax contract players on a roster.
So you can have more than 2 Supermax?
I guess so.
If you can afford it.
Then you just, probably have a bunch of G Leaguers and 2 ways to fill out the rest of the roster.
Yeah, right.
Pretty sure there's still a salary cap.
But that's, I mean, who kind of looks like that? Like the Lakers?
Who's the third? D'Lo. Or when they had Russ.
Yeah. When they had Russ. Like, you know, they've got Austin Reeves. They've got freaking Schroeder on a nickel compared to what he could have got at the same team.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just thinking when they had Russ, maybe that's because they didn't sign him. They got him in a trade.
Right.
That might be the wording around that one.
Okay.
I'm not sure though.
Or you pay luxury. You don't have to have 2 A's and G Leaguers. You can just pay luxury, right?
You can, but I think it's not in this article here, but I heard something about the luxury being like hard capped now.
Okay.
So there's still a luxury, but I don't think you can actually go over that anymore. This is all on source though.
Right, it's all on source here at Welcome to the Potter Podcast.
Yeah, they're probably like the main ones I've heard.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, and that was the end of that article, so I'm not gonna go too deep into that one. If we find out anything else in the next few weeks, we can talk about it.
I like the 65 game thing. I do wish it was slightly stricter. I wish maybe it, whatever 65% of 82 is, let's call it 80%. You're not eligible for end of season awards, and you're only eligible for 80% of your salary. I would like that. Because if I only go to my job 80%, which I do, I'm 4 days a week. That's 80%. Do you know how much my salary I get of my full-time salary?
80%?
Yeah, that's how much I get.
Yeah, it's just tough though if you actually are injured because you're signing these guaranteed deals.
Yeah, true.
And that's the whole beauty of the NBA contract. Shit's guaranteed.
Yeah, that makes it hard, doesn't it? Yeah, if you actually do get injured. The load management shit's just annoying. It's like we talked before off camera about something.
Yeah.
What were we just talking about?
What was it, like Utah tanking?
Tanking. We talked about tanking. How do you get penalized for tanking? How does the NBA or any league prove that you are tanking and that you're not just being like a shit coach or that your players are injured or whatever? Because like a few weeks ago, about a month ago, Brooklyn starters played 10 minutes and the bench played the rest of the game.
Was it a blowout? Was it still like a winnable game?
They were getting beat in the first quarter.
Regardless, it shouldn't matter. You shouldn't be throwing games at that level.
Well, I don't think they threw it. Like, I think they almost won it.
Yeah, okay. Well, so the bench was just clicking then?
Somewhat.
Okay.
But the coach just never put him back in. And you just won, like, it's a one-off, right? It was one game. But, like, you have players that average this, this, and this. And if your bench outperforms them for one game, like, can you then justify, like, well, this is who I'm playing for the rest of the season? And then, bang, we get Wemby.
Nets would have no chance at Wemby right now, but just in that.
Just in terms of like a tanking, a team that's in the race that tanks, if they before the game, and I'm sure you don't do this to your team and say like, hey, starters, play like shit for 4 minutes, I'll sub you out. We'll use the bench, bench will light it up, and then I've got the justification to just play the bench for the rest of the season because they played well, and we'll lose every game, and will be in the race for the lottery picks.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be the part. I wouldn't be part like, of a franchise like that. I wouldn't want
to be a player that has to like go with that.
But people do tank. They do, and how do you prove it? And how do you discipline it? Can you prove it? Like if someone's if you got players doing like one foul in the first 5 seconds of a game and walking off the court, is that like, can that be classified as tanking, or is that just like you're allowed to do that because you're managing your load and you want to keep your 65 games, even though you're going to get zero stat line?
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's people out there getting paid a lot more than us that can't work this shit out.
Not that much more.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it. I like the 65 game eligibility.
Yeah.
In theory, see how it plays out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Season.
Oh, the other one. It wasn't in that article, but I'm pretty sure I heard this on another podcast. The NBA, the all NBA teams. You know how right now it's like position based?
Yeah.
So it has to be like two guards, two forwards and a center.
Yeah.
So apparently next season in part of this collective bargaining agreement, it's just the five best players. It's positionless.
I like that.
So essentially it's just going to be whoever finishes top five in the MVP.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you miss out on the MVP and then not make a first team?
Yeah, it's nuts. yeah, being runner-up MVP.
And you got three. You got three centers in the running this year, and only one of them could be in the NBA first team because there's only one center allowed.
Are we including Giannis as well?
Is he a forward?
I'd probably he'd be eligible as a forward.
Right. But okay, say
because he's playing with Brook Lopez, who like he won't make it, but arguably could be in the conversation for like all NBA third team center.
Yeah. Okay, but like talking about Jokic and Embiid, then they're this close, like they are neck and neck. We don't know who's going to win MVP, and if the MVP would have to, well, yeah, would basically have to be in the first team.
Yeah.
And the second guy, because he's not a forward, who they get to choose two forwards, because he's a center, just goes to the second team straight away.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Even though he's the second best player in the league, technically, he's in the second team. He's not even in the top five. Like, it just doesn't sit right.
Yeah, like especially with the way basketball's been played for the past however many years with, like, the introduction of small ball and...
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me PJ Tucker's a center. No. Even though he's played center in so many lineups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I'm all for this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into that for sure. Yep. What were you looking something up just then?
No, I was just making sure we're still recording.
Okay. Let's go to Clay's reviews.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like ting or costumes. This segment is Clay's reviews.
You know the Untold documentaries on Netflix?
No.
There are all these different... The first one that came out, I think, was Malice in the Palace.
Oh. Yes, okay. Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
So I've watched a couple of those that I'm going to break down. So the first one I watched was The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist.
Yeah. Well, how's that? Break it down.
So this is Manti Te'o. He was like I believe, defensive tackle for Notre Dame, one of the most prestigious football schools in the US. Football is in American football. And he's a Hawaiian kid, Mormon, just like all around great guy. He's religious. He's, you know, man of faith. He you know, cares about all that shit. And he ends up signing with Notre Dame. And he's a star. He's an absolute star from like day one. You're just killing it. And he meets this. And by the way, I was in college when he was playing at Notre Dame. So I remember this story when it happened unfolding on ESPN and watching it and being like, what the fuck is happening? Okay. And now for people who don't know and you're thinking, what? Why would your reaction be like that? This man had a girlfriend. Okay, and he was going through, I'll keep it short because I don't want to break down all the details, but he had a girlfriend and basically his grandmother died and his girlfriend died the same day as his grandmother. And then he dedicates his season to him and has this fucking amazing season and he's just getting all the press in the world. And then it comes out later that his girlfriend didn't die. And so the media just turns on. He's a complete, it just shows you, this story shows you how the media can just build you up and build you up and build you up and build you up for months and months and months. And in 1 second, just fucking turn on you and take you down. And that's what they did. And they were calling him gay and like he made this up to hide his sexuality and all this shit. But it was like one of the first examples of catfishing.
Yeah.
And it was actually a guy on the other end of the phone. He'd never met this person, but he thought it was a girlfriend. The guy went on Dr. Phil and Dr. Phil tells him like, but you don't sound like a girl. He's like, well, you're doing a voice. And like, he asked him to do it. And he like, he turns around and he does this voice. He sounds just like a woman. He's a wild, wild motherfucker, bro. And he ends up turning like later after all this, but like in the documentary, he's trans. He's a woman now. But at the time when this all went down, he was a man. The catfish are not manti.
Yeah, manti. Okay. And
manti is still mad, religious, and like forgives this motherfucker for all the damage he did to his life and shit.
Heard about this shit.
It's crazy because that's not me at all. I'd hate this motherfucker. You know, I'm trying to get a gun to kill a guy that walked past my house, you know? Imagine if a motherfucker did this to me.
Yeah.
Nuts. I remember clowning this motherfucker in the locker room. We'd be there laughing at the ESPN news and like, you know, just clown. And then I cried watching this. I felt so, I felt like I personally like hurt him. Like I was, because I just remembered like how, like, even though I never met him or anything, I just remember like bullying from a distance type of thing, you know, just like making fun of my TV, like whenever he was on it.
Because he still got drafted, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to the Chargers, San Diego Chargers, who are now the LA Chargers. And his mental was all fucked up. He just never played the same again after all this shit happened.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Unbelievable documentary. Because I remember not caring during the time and like just making fun of him. I wasn't expecting to like be hit with the emotion that it hit me with. 8 out of 10.
Nice. Okay, I have to watch that one. I've been meaning to because when it first came out, a lot of people were talking about it. And
yeah, I can't remember if it's like broken up into sections or if it's just like one thing. But it's not too long. Like get through pretty easily. I think I got through it in one or two sittings. The next one I watched was Untold Operation Flagrant Foul. These are on Netflix, these Untolds. And Operation Flagrant Foul was, what's his name? Something Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy.
Timmy. Yeah. So he was a mobbed up ref. Basically giving his picks to mobsters who were making millions of dollars off of this shit. They still don't really know how much Tim made off of this shit, but what he's claiming is just, it's peanuts. He would have made so much money.
Okay.
They're saying that he didn't throw games. I mean, you got to make your mind up. Like this is the beauty of this documentary is like, you kind of get to make your own mind up. Sort of like making a murderer, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting. He looks just like Brett Maher, this guy. And he likes to paint himself as like, you know, I didn't really do anything wrong. I gave out like from what I know and who was reffing and who has problems with what players. I had a better idea than most people of what results were going to be.
Where it's going to go, yeah, yeah.
But I think from the way I see it, just me, I think it was much more than that. I think he was throwing games. I think there was more happening. But it's not in the NBA's best interest for that information to get out either.
No.
Right? They don't want to be the WWE. They're borderline on that already before, you know, any news of game match fixing is out, you know? So, but it was really interesting to watch. I think there might be podcasts about this, books, all types of shit. He went to jail for a while. He, you know, he's still killing it. He's got like a construction company that he runs. Like this is what I mean. Like
it's real mob shit.
He had some money to go to prison and come out and just be running a construction company. That's not really how it works for most people.
For most retired, disgraced referees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was dope though. Not quite on the same level as Manti Te'o's, but you know, there's some characters in there. Like, there's a couple of like mobby kind of guys in there that are fun. You know, little fun interviews and stuff. 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
for that one. Next one I watched was Bill Russell, Legend. This is also on Netflix. You know, these old legends, I don't know too much beyond like the probably as far back as like Dr. J, maybe. Even like Magic and Bird is like a little bit of a stretch. Dr. J is just so iconic that you kind of have a picture of him, but like not to say Bill Russell is not iconic, but he's just so far back in the day. You don't know what was going on. You don't know about, like, you don't really see much about Wilt, about Bill Russell, about Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, unless you go, like, looking for it, it's pretty, they don't really put, like, colour footage in your face from those days.
Yeah, but this documentary was so good. It covered everything that he did on the court, from his college days to his days as a Celtic. What did he get, 11 rings? Mm. I think 8 as a player and 3 as a player coach or something like that.
Sounds about right.
Like, it's just unbelievable. And then he was just like a huge, like, spokesperson for like civil rights and you know, black civil rights. He would miss games. He would boycott games, and get the other teams to boycott and shit like that. And he was like, one of the first athletes to like really be on that shit. And that was a really touching documentary as well. And that I have to give that one an 8 as well.
Yeah, wow.
Sensational.
Good run. This is a good run of Clay's Reviews because sometimes we get a lot of 4s and 5s.
Yeah, we're on like straight 4s last week. This is
good. The next one I watched, you might have seen this pop up, Emily the Criminal.
No, I don't think so. What's it about?
Do you know Aubrey Plaza?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Emily. She's from Parks and Rec. And I think she's in season 2 of White Lotus.
Yeah, she is.
And I don't know what else she's in, but she's pretty good. She's pretty funny. But she's serious in this. She's serious. She works for like a catering company, making fuck all money. She's in debt. And a guy she works with gets her to cover a shift, and she does it. And to repay her, he's like, here's this number. Call it. Do what they say. You'll get some extra cash. And she ends up getting in this like sort of like organization where they steal shit, resell it, and get all this bread. And then she figures out how to run this organization, and she starts doing it herself, type of shit. And you know, all the kind of stuff that comes along with being in a criminal organization and all of that. But I can't even remember if it's based on a true story. And that's usually one of my favorite things if they are. I think it could be based on true events. And I don't know what that means. I think it could be. That's a kind of a
work of fiction.
Okay, work of fiction. So no, it's not based. But despite not even being based on true events, 7 out of 10. And yeah, she's a very like sarcastic, dry actress. Like you see it in Parks and Rec. It definitely sort of mirrors her personality. I've heard her in interviews and stuff. She seems to be that way. And she brings more to this. I think it's her best work that I've seen. So I was very impressed with her in this. So 7 out of 10 for Emily the Criminal. I watched a film on binge called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's starring Nicolas Cage, and he plays himself. And
it's a new sort of film, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy sitting next to at work was telling me about this.
Yeah, so he plays himself. He's like an actor that's sort of like out of work, trying to make a comeback. And it's very meta. There's two versions of him in it, but like one of them is like his ego, I guess. It's like his imagination. He like talks to himself from time to time. And his second character is CGI. Like they've made him look younger. It's like a younger version of himself. He's got the good hair. He's got less wrinkles and stuff. And there's a lot of clips online compilations of Nicolas Cage freakouts.
Am I a fucking retard, man? Am I a fucking retard? Oh, I know what this is. They're trying to snuff me out because of this crazy little nephew being around. Well, vive la fucking France, man! Someone's trying to kill me, man! The fucking hangers!
It never just goes away.
That goddamn contract is somewhere in the goddamn fucking files! Fuck!
Because in all of his movies, he like goes, he really gets into it, and he has massive freakouts in almost every single movie he's in. So they've got mad compilations of this, and in this movie, his like alter ego spazzes out all the time. And it's obvious it's Nicolas Cage doing the acting. So he's making fun of himself, which I fucking love.
Yeah.
And the idea of the movie is that he goes to like Spain, I think it's Spain, and meets this rich guy who wants to make a movie with Nicolas Cage. And then the movie that they're discussing is the movie that you as the viewer are watching.
So meta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And meta doesn't always work, but it worked here. Very fun, very silly. 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty, it's kind of maybe a bit long.
Yeah. Well, you're the second person that's recommended this to me in the past 24 hours, so that's a sign.
Wow. So that recently, the guy from work.
We were talking about Pedro Pascal because we've both been watching The Last of Us and just talking about other good shit he's been in, how he's been on a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned this movie with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. If you get a couple hours, I reckon have a crack at this. Murder Mystery 2 just dropped on Netflix last Friday. Adam Sandler and Rachel from Friends, whatever her name is. It was fine. It was fun, silly action, like silly action.
Murder Mystery 1, is that another Adam Sandler movie? Or not?
Yeah, there's both of them in that as well.
Okay, I've never even heard of that one.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. All
right.
But yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It is what it is, you know? 6.5 out of 10. Worth maybe watch it with a wine or a beer and some snacks if you just don't want to think too much.
Yeah.
And then my last one here, back to binge, Bullet Train, Brad Pitt, my fucking guy. It is a story about a bunch of like assassins. They're all on the same train and all of their stories are interwoven with each other. And you know, it sort of comes together at the end. You've seen like Snatch, right? Oh shit. That's my top five movies of all time, bro.
I'm sure I have, but I couldn't recall one scene from that movie. That's pretty old, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you see The Gentleman?
Fuck, man.
The Gentleman's kind of new, like a few years old. It's got Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
And Bugsy Malone's in it, and they do like a rap video in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
When they're stealing the weed.
Went to go see that one at the cinemas, actually.
Yeah. So you know how all of those stories are like separate and they all come together like in the, yeah. That's what this was, but it wasn't as like geniusly put together. It's kind of like sloppy. It just... but in saying that, it was fun. It was funny. Action, you know, stunts were okay. It was cool. 7.5 for me. Michael Shannon played a Russian assassin. I love Michael Shannon. Trying to think of what else he's in that you would know him from. That's a tough question. He's in so much shit. You'll know his face as soon as you see it. He's in everything. You know, you recognize him?
Yeah, I recognize him. Just trying to think what I know him from.
I guess he's not like a leading man. You know, he's kind of handsome. He kind of does look scary though. Like, what's it got there? Empire, yeah, Boardwalk Empire. He's in 8 Mile. Don't remember him in that.
Oh, 8 Mile, he's like the mum's boyfriend, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
The abusive mum's boyfriend.
Yeah. That's right. Fuck. That's good memory. Yeah, but he's cool. So he's in Bullet Train. It's like him, Brad Pitt. You've seen Atlanta?
I think I've seen the first season of it.
You know the guy, you know Paperboy? Like the yeah. rapper, he's in it and he's got an English accent.
Yeah, okay.
What's her name? This girl who's kind of weird looking, but like kind of good looking. So if that rings a bell. Who's that chick who's kind of weird looking and kind of good looking? She's got like a strange name, almost like I want to say Dylan, but her name's not Dylan.
The only chick's name I can say is Sandra Bullock.
Nah. She's only in like the last scene. Her voice is in throughout, but she only appears in the last scene.
Joey King?
Joey. Yeah, that's a guy's name. Joey King. She's in it. She was pretty good in it. And then there's a couple of Asians and... What?
There's a couple of Asians.
Yeah, that sounded way more offensive than like it was supposed to.
No, it just sounded nuts.
A couple of people of Asian descent are in it. yeah, but that was fun, man. 7.5. What have you been watching? You've been watching The Last of Us.
Yeah, that all wrapped up probably like a month ago now. That was dropping week by week.
Yeah.
Watched all that. Just got back into
what break it down.
Last of Us.
Yeah.
I can't break it down like you can, man. I'll just watch it and it just.
What are we looking at? Is it Last of Us is like a horror situation or?
I thought it was gonna be. So I'm kind of into like the whole apocalypse zombie type genre. I've always kind of liked those movies and series, but it's definitely a lot more about like the human aspect of it and like loneliness and moving on, like as opposed to just jump scares from zombies.
Right.
There's really not that much like zombie airtime.
Okay.
Just about the bonds that survivors make.
Right.
I guess that's kind of what drives the whole story.
So is it like dialogue driven?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like a dialogue driven script as long as it's good dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. I recommend watching it. Yeah. Now that it's all out, you can binge it.
And it's on binge.
It's on binge.
And is it quiet? Does it have music happening behind the dialogue or between the dialogue? Is it believable? Do you believe the actors? Are they shit?
No, actors are good.
Yeah.
Actors are good.
Well, Pedro, too. Like we said before, Pedro's the man.
Pedro and, what's her name? Bella Ramsey.
Yeah.
She's really good in Game of Thrones.
I went to college with a girl named Beth Ramsey. She was tiny, but hot. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bella Ramsey, she was in Game of Thrones and she was really good in that.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite young at the time, but yeah.
I'm not a great Game of Thrones guy.
Nah, maybe one day. All right. Did I tell you I watched that again recently?
Yeah, you did.
Fuck, man, that went forever.
How many seasons? Six.
Eight seasons.
Eight seasons. Eight. Oh, what? So what are you giving Last of Us?
Last of Us, I'm giving that like an 8.5, I reckon. yeah, hanging out for season two.
Wow. 8.5.
Yeah.
That's a must watch. That's must watch territory.
Yeah, if you like that genre.
Mm. What? Anything else?
Started watching, what's it called? Drive to Survive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I think it's season 3 or 4 now.
Yep.
And it's kind of the first season I'm watching where I've already got an idea of all the results because I like kept up with F1 last season. So it doesn't come out live.
So when you say you started watching it, you're talking about
the new season. Well, I started watching the new season of Drive to Survive.
Yeah, because we've already reviewed Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me because I didn't watch it.
No. Okay. So the episodes that have just come out now, they're based on last year's F1 season, I guess.
Right, okay.
Whereas all the other episodes of Drive to Survive I watched, I didn't know who was going to win at the end of these episodes.
Yeah, okay. I've started full swing.
Following F1?
No, full swing is the golf version It's made by the Drive to Survive people.
Yeah.
But it's about golf and the PGA Tour and you know, the live drama and all that. And that's really good, but I don't want to review it yet because I've only watched a couple of episodes.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm loving it.
And okay, so this is Netflix as well then, if it's the same guys?
Yep.
Okay, because I know there's a tennis one. I watched the first episode of that, but I just didn't get into it as much. It was still good, but yeah, not the kind of thing I'd sit there and binge.
Yeah, I think I watched the trailer for that, but I was just like, nah, no thanks. Yeah. All right, should we finish off on some advice? I've got a few advice emails.
That ain't no problem.
So this one's coming in from Brenda. From Brenda. She says, is it bad for me to fill a water bottle up with wine and start drinking some when arriving to a place you're nervous about going? Before reading this, Brenda, I'm going to say yes. You're an alcoholic. Drinking in secret at a place that you're not supposed to be drinking. Like if you're drinking it at a, you know, at a festival, yeah. If you're drinking it at a, maybe even sneaking it into an expensive bar and you don't want to buy drinks all night, yeah, go ahead. You're bringing that shit to work or like, you know, dinner at your boyfriend's house, Brenda, you might be an alcoholic.
Yeah, I think she is.
Yeah, let's go and see what she's talking about. I'm planning on doing a lot of new things this spring/summer. Okay, you must be from not Australia because we are well and truly out of summer. And most of them I'll probably have to do alone considering the fact that I don't have many friends or a partner. And that's because you're an alcoholic, Brenda. But I like to do things alone anyway when I'm ready to go. Hold on. But I like to do things alone anyway because when I'm ready to go, I can go and I don't have to try to entertain anyone. However, I'm very socially anxious, she's trying to say, and shy, so I'm kind of nervous. I plan on use what you got to do is use punctuation. I plan on doing indoor rock climbing. Hey, don't be drinking. Oh, here we go. I plan on doing indoor rock climbing and kickboxing soon. I'd say if there's two things, if there's two things on the top of the don't do list when drinking, it'd be rock climbing and kickboxing. I would sooner drive than get in a ring and kickbox someone while I'm drunk.
This sounds nuts. I need to hear where she's going with it.
When I arrive in the parking lot of these locations, would it be bad to have some wine before going in? Is it bad to keep a water bottle filled with wine in my purse? There are these facilities, Brenda. They're called rehabilitation clinics. Next time you get in your car, you drive yourself to one of them, okay? Don't bring wine. Bring a notepad. Bring your phone, but I think they're going to take that from you. I think you get like an hour of phone time a day. You need rehab. You're an alcoholic. If the two things you want to do when drinking are rock climbing and kickboxing, you got to start rethinking some things. If you said, I'm going to go to a book club and I think books are boring and it'd be more fun and maybe giggly if I was a little bit, you know, tipsy, then yeah, maybe I'd let that slide. But if you're about to go in there and get CTE because you're seeing three people that you're about to spar against, but it's only one, you got to start making some better choices.
Yeah. Yeah, time and a place. That's not it, Brenda.
Yeah, sorry, Brenda. What was the question? Is it bad to keep a water bottle filled with wine in my purse? Yeah, the answer for that, in short, yes. Yes, it's bad. All right. Well, thanks for writing in, Brenda, because I like it when the ladies write in. Because this is a real sausage fest podcast. But we've got one coming in from Dina here. Dina, my boyfriend's family is encouraging him to cheat on me. All right. My boyfriend and I have been dating for about a year. Recently, he told me that his family has been encouraging him to cheat on me for the past 6 months. And his dad would make comments that he's hooked onto me because I'm the first pussy he's ever had and he should get more. I can picture, I feel like the dad's wearing tidy whities and a wife beater, and he's got his, he's kind of got his belly out, and he's sitting sitting on a, like a recliner, and he's like half reclined, and he's also rocking as he's saying it, and he's got, he's going bald, but he's still got long hair. That's what this motherfucker, like, that is a wild thing to say to your son.
Yeah.
It's crazy that your boyfriend, told you about this. Cause one, it's quite clearly going to be something that upsets you. And two, how are you supposed to like go and just like continue being cordial with his family after that?
Yeah, can't.
That's nuts.
You can't. And if you do, like, you've got some issues within yourself, confidence-wise.
Yeah.
Yourself in that position.
Yeah, start doing your affirmations like me. Get your book out and write, I do not deserve to be cheated on. My pussy is enough pussy for any man. Do shit like that. I've got a powerful pussy. Shit like that. I've got that whap. Sorry, we still got more to read here, Dina. My boyfriend has never defended me and I feel so degraded and disgusted. I have gone out with his family, been to their house and have still been saying, and they have still been saying this. I don't want to ruin my boyfriend's relationship with his family, but I do not want to see them or have a relationship with them. My boyfriend said I should act like everything is normal with them. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't subscribe to the importance of getting along with your partner's family. I know it's good to be able to. I don't think it's imperative. I don't think you have to go there regularly. You need to make an effort and go on occasions. You need to go on Christmas. You can't skip Christmas. You can't skip Easter. You know, this is a huge weekend for us. You do not need to be like going there every week or whatever. And but when you are there, you do need to, your boyfriend's right. You do need to act like everything's normal, but he's wrong in the sense that you need to act like it all the time. You don't need to disrespect them to his face and be like, your family's a bunch of fuck-ups. Look at your dad's hair. Why doesn't he get a fucking haircut? He looks like he says the N-word regularly. It's crazy, you know? Because that's what it sounds like this dude looks like. That's what it sounds like this dude looks like. But... your boyfriend needs to understand where you're coming from, but you need to understand that is his family, and he's not that he's going to take their side, but he's not going to, you know, a lot of people, especially sons and daughters, you know, of people don't like conflict with their parents. You know, my parents have said some foul shit in their day. And I've let some of it go. I've called some of it out, and it does feel very uncomfortable, like telling your parents off like they're children. So usually I'm just like, roll your eyes and just like, oh, we'll be out of here soon, you know. So he might not want to have any conversations with his parents about it. You don't need to have ongoing conversations with him about it. I guess the only concern is, depending on how old you guys are, is he likely to go and try and get some more pussy because you're the first and only pussy he's ever had? And I'm only saying that because those are your words right here in front of me. I probably wouldn't talk about you as in as being a pussy or the pussy, but you have said you're the first pussy. I can see it right here, pussy. I'm the first pussy he's ever had, it says. Bleep that. you just, depending on how old and mature this guy is, I'll just maybe, I don't know, keep your ear to the streets, and keep your head on a swivel. Just make sure that he's not getting tempted because of his stupid, potentially racist father. Shout out to Dina. That's two women, but we got one coming in from Robert. I'm going to need you to scroll down a little bit more on here. Got one coming in from Robert. And this one's interesting. And you know, guys are idiots, so I'm not surprised that this question came in. How important is physical attraction in a relationship? Coming from Robert. And Robert, pretty. It's pretty important, I'd say. Some people, better men than me, can be in a relationship with someone's personality and just their personality. I'm not into that. I'm not into that. There's some people that I can barely look in the eye because...
Yeah, you need to have that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see what Robert has to say. I started dating someone a few months ago after not being in the dating scene for nearly a decade. Wow. Were you in a coma? What happened? Imagine if he's like literally like a criminal.
He's been locked up.
Yeah, he's been in prison, but he's just like, that's his way of saying it. Like when he goes on a first date, like, oh, like, do you go on dates often? He's like, oh, I've been out of the dating scene for about a decade.
That's pretty smooth.
Yeah. But like in the back of his mind, he's like just trying so hard not to stab her or something. Okay. We get along extremely well, and she is one of the most amazing human beings I've ever been around. And I don't know if you know that because it sounds like you've been in a cell for 10 years, Robert. The problem is that I'm making peace with the fact that I'm just not that physically attracted to her. But I'm struggling with figuring out how much to factor that into my decision to continue seeing her or not. You can be friends. Just because you get along with somebody doesn't mean they have to be a romantic connection. The physical attraction is important. There's a factor with romantic relationships that's in between physical and emotional. And that can be missing. You can get in this world with people who are both, who are attractive, fun, intelligent, good to talk to, and for some reason, and I don't know what it is, it's just not there. It's just not, even though you get along, like, and it's just like a friendship thing, even though she's a 10 and you're like a 7.5 and she's fun and she's smart and she's funny, you know? But it's just like, like a spark. They call it the spark. The spark's not there. That can happen. But if you're not physically attracted to someone, even if you choose to pursue this as a romantic relationship, there's no good ending there, I don't think. Right?
Yeah, so it's not looking good for Robert then.
No, well, because you can even have a spark with someone who you find immensely sexually attractive, and as you are with them for longer and longer and longer and longer and longer, the spark dies, and they still look the same, they're still attractive to you, but you're just like, you know, bored with them, or you know, it's, you're too familiar with them. So if you're in that situation with someone that you already don't have the physical attraction to, I don't even know if I'd call it a higher risk of that spark dissipating. I would almost say it's a guarantee.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm no scientist. I'm just the fucking Easter bunny, bro. But, you know, if you know bunnies like I know bunnies, we fuck. So I'll give you some relationship advice. You know what they say. Fucking like rabbits.
Mm.
That's me. Okay, let's finish this off, Robert. Bobby. She feels like my best friend. Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, my guy. Keep it that way. And she constantly tells me how attractive I am. I feel horrible that I generally don't seem to feel the same way, but I also know that I want to be with someone who is caring, loving, kind, empathetic as she is. Now that's the real kicker there. Those people are harder to find than the hot people. And then the hot people that have all that are even harder to find than just a hot person. So you, again, I don't know what this person, like, maybe this person is super hot, but you're just not, you know, maybe you're just into Asians or something, you know, and this is a white girl. Maybe that's, because like when you say you're not physically attracted, like, I'm just thinking of like an absolute whale, you know. But yeah, maybe you've got a thing for black chicks. I don't know. I don't know, Robert. But the thing is, if you leave this relationship going searching for someone that's better looking, that still has all of those, or not better looking, more physically attractive, whatever that means to you, who still has all of those things, the caring, loving, kind, empathetic, that is a tough journey to go on. But you may need to go on it because this doesn't sound it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But how old is this dude? Like, he's been in jail for half his life. I don't know.
Clock's ticking, Robert.
Yeah. How important have you guys found physical attraction to be when looking for a life partner? Any advice on how to determine the best way to move forward? I mean, call it shallow, but I think to me, it's always been important. I've had that initial personality spark with girls before, and we've hung out, and I've just never made a move because I'm just like, it's all there, except I just can't, you know? And I don't regret not pursuing those. So that's my answer. All right. Well, you guys know what it is. The new email. No, not email. The new website, just claymcmathcomedy.com. It's got a podcast page on there. Just go through there if you want to send any, you know, gifts or relationship advice, or not just relationship advice, any advice. Yeah, whatever you want to send, just say what's up. Send us a story. I wouldn't mind reading some meaty stories, no high minds. I hope you guys enjoyed all your Easter eggs, your Bung Bung Coffee, bungbungcoffee.com, and the promo code PODDY 15% off all orders.